Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if the White House has told Congress too little about the prisoner exchange, also at issue right now is how much a New York Times correspondent will be forced to tell about his sources for a war on terror story. This is about James Risen, whose book State of War revealed warrantless wiretapping in 2006. Remember that? Years before anyone had heard of Edward Snowden. Risen may yet go to prison for what he won't reveal to the government about one chapter in that book. Adam Liptak, who covers the Supreme Court for the New York Times, joins us now to talk about his colleague's case. Hi, Adam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here.
And the Supreme Court did just decline to hear the Risen case, which is why you're on the story. That means he's still at risk of prison. Can you explain the legal issue in this case?
The government's trying to prosecute someone, it says, leaked information to Jim, named Jeffrey Sterling. The government says that information formed the basis for a chapter in Jim's book.
Everybody bad is named Sterling this week.
and they want to try Sterling, and they want Jim to show up and testify about his sources. And the Supreme Court's decision basically was the last gasp of any legal hope for Jim to avoid being held in contempt. But that doesn't mean that he will be. The Obama administration has sent mixed signals about what it wants to do in this case, and the Justice Department still has the decision to make about having gained the power to ask for Jim to be held in contempt and sent to jail until he talks, or whether it wants to exercise that power.
So they may not decide to exercise that power. But lingering on the constitutional question for the moment, it's whether journalists have a qualified First Amendment privilege, even when subpoenaed, to not reveal the identity of confidential sources in a criminal trial. Am I putting that accurately?
That's exactly right. So that was the question before the court, or even more precisely, whether the court wanted to revisit a 5-4 case from 1972 called Brandsburg against Hayes, in which it said the First Amendment contains no such privilege, although there was an odd cryptic concurrence from Justice Powell that maybe gave the press a little room to argue that the court meant to say a little more than that. But most people read that Brandsburg case as shutting down the First Amendment question, and the court declined to revisit that. Now, there are other sources of protection other than the First Amendment. In 49 states, either legislatures or courts have said the press gets a qualified privilege. But unfortunately for Jim, he's in federal court, where there is no federal shield law and apparently no protection under the First Amendment.
It seems like such an old question. They haven't settled it yet, or I guess you're saying they have settled it, and there is no First Amendment protection once you're subpoenaed to reveal a source.
Federal courts have interpreted this question differently, but I think most scholars would tell you that the best reading of the Supreme Court's precedents is that there is no First Amendment protection for at least criminals' subpoenas.
Risen's lawyer, Joel Kurtzberg, told you that, quote, the ball is now in the government's court. In other words, they can seek his testimony or not. The Supreme Court has given them permission, but as you were just saying a minute ago, the administration has given mixed signals on this issue. And I want to play a clip of Attorney General Holder in a recent interview with NBC News after it was revealed that the Department of Justice had been monitoring Fox News reporter James Rosen, no relation to James Risen, and had seized large numbers of phone records from the Associated Press.
I'm a little concerned that things have gotten a little out of whack. I think we can do a better job than we have. We can reform those regulations, reform those guidelines to better reflect that balance.
And then just last week, Holder went on to say, quote, as long as I'm Attorney General, no reporter who is doing his job is going to go to jail. As long as I'm Attorney General, someone who's doing their job is not going to get prosecuted, unquote. How clear a statement is that to you, that Attorney General Holder is going to decline to try to throw James Risen in prison?
You know, he said it various ways. There's a level of ambiguity in there. He can argue about whether Jim is doing his job. Sometimes he talks about prosecuting people, which is not what's at issue here vis-a-vis Jim. but whether he tries to hold him in contempt. But I and many people, perhaps a little hopefully, choose to read those statements to indicate that the administration does have a commitment to a free press and an understanding that confidential sources are vital to the conduct of a free press. So we're hopeful that that the natural meaning of those words, that they're not going to go after the gym, is the correct meaning of those words.
The record does indicate, though, doesn't it, that the Obama administration has been more aggressive, maybe far more aggressive than past administrations, including Bush, in this area?
Yeah, so they talk the talk but don't walk the walk. They have launched 8 leak prosecutions. Every administration since the beginning of the Republic combined has only launched 3. So you have an administration that says all kinds of nice things about press freedom, but seems to act differently than its words would suggest.
This was a story, we should point out, that the Times decided not to publish. The government convinced the paper not to print it. This wasn't about warrantless wiretapping, though that was the big news that came out of that book from James Risen in 2006. This was about something pertaining to Iran, and the Times declined to publish it, so Risen did put it in his book. Does this tell us something about different standards between newspaper journalism and book publishing when it comes to matters of national security?
You know, I wasn't privy to the editorial decisions about what parts of Jim's book we chose to excerpt or not and what parts of his reporting we thought was an appropriate news story. You'll recall also that the paper took its sweet time in reporting the other chapter you mentioned about the Bush warrantless wiretapping program. And the consensus view, I think, including inside the paper, is that maybe we made the wrong call on that one.
Say that again. Made the wrong call on what?
On holding off in publishing the warrantless wiretapping material in a different chapter of Jim's book. As to whether the chapter about a botched CIA plan to try to sell phony blueprints to Iran so that its nuclear program would be hobbled, I guess I just wasn't part of those discussions.
Mm-hmm. Covering other things at the time. And Risen has said that he would go to prison to protect his sources. He's also continued to write front page stories for the Times on national security, including one last week on face recognition programs for the NSA. Have you talked to him about this? What's his response to the Supreme Court non-decision?
He's gravely disappointed. He had hoped for more from our courts. He's a very distinguished investigative reporter. He's brave, and I don't doubt that he will go to jail if need be.
Adam Liptak, New York Times Supreme Court correspondent, talking about his colleague James Risen, who the court the other day declined to protect in the case of him being subpoenaed to reveal sources for his 2006 book, State of War, in conjunction with a criminal trial. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up finally today, it is Rangers Mania in New York City with the Blue Shirts' first championship series in 20 years. Now underway, we'll talk to Bud Mishkin from New York One and take your Rangers culture calls. How do you hang in there when they lose year after year after year after year after year?